This is Phil Farron, and I am driving home. It's Thursday today. I think it's episode 620. Yes, 620. So it won't be too long before we will be to 12 times 52. So whatever 12 times 52 is, what is that? 612 times 52. 1 times is 520. 2 times is 104. 104, so it'd be 624. Because when we get to 624, that will be 12 years worth of podcasts. This is 620. So 4 more weeks. I'll see if I can get the family together and we'll do a little thing. We'll see. Put a stake down on the ground and say, this is what happened this year. I can't remember if we did. I think we did that last year. Things got a little rattled there for a while, you know, with the whole COVID stuff. So I can't remember. Anyways, all is well. It's been a long week. I had put in some long days last week because I was just scrambling. To finish up Hello Frankenkitty, which was Backwards Day. So for Backwards Day, I talked to a friend a week ago on Saturday, or on Friday, last Friday. And one of the questions he asked me, he was a big fan of the Nitpicker's Guides, and one of the things we had in the Nitpicker's Guides, which are really old now, because the last one came out in like 1997, he said, you know, you put these tote boards in there where you tallied up the number of times things happened. And he said, I got to tell you, when I was reading that for the first time, he said, I was laughing so hard, you know, just laughing and laughing. And he said, where in the world did you come up with those ideas? And I said, you know, I said, things just come. And I said, I tell you, I'm a firm believer in the fact that creativity is mechanical. That there is something about using our physical bodies in creativity. That stuff happens, ideas come to us seemingly when we are in motion doing things. And I related a story to him of how I had a character. It was in Grumpy Old Prophets, but I didn't tell him that. And it was Mary in the temple, but I didn't tell him that. I told him about how I had this character and she was running up a flight of stairs and I had no idea what was up at the top of that stairs. And I wrote her running up these stairs and then I was like, I don't know what's next. So I backed up and wrote her running up the stairs again. And I added more to it and I, you know, packed out what she was experiencing in that moment. And then I wrote her running to the top of the stairs. And as she reached the top of the stairs, as I'm typing away, suddenly I realized Elijah is at the top of the stairs. And as soon as I have that thought, boom, I'm off to the races. I write the chapter. It takes the book in a slightly different direction. It's just like, bam, there it is. Would not have gotten that if I had just waited for the inspiration. You know, you just got to get out there and you just got to move. And so I can't tell you where the idea for romantic tote boards come from. I'm working away on the book. I'm typey. I need some things to go in between to help us with our claim that this is new material. And the idea just comes from somewhere. I'm sure we could look at the things I was experiencing at that time and piece it together from there, but it just comes. So, Backwards Day. I see it's National Backwards Day. And really early on, I have this idea. Wouldn't it be cool if I could build a costume that I could rotate the entire costume on my body without turning around? And then if I could do that, I could bend forward and it would look like I was bending backwards. Now, I will tell you right now, if perchance you have seen the videos aren't as good as they could be. The bit is not as good as it could be. And the reason is I was up till 2:30 early Friday morning getting that costume finished. I collapsed into bed. I was back up at 6. So I got like 3.5 hours sleep and went immediately. I never even had a chance to take video of the costume and me moving in the costume. So I had no idea really what it looked like. But we had fun. People leave. And I know now exactly what I need to do for next year. So it'll be fine. It'll be fine for next year. It'll be fun. People seem to enjoy it. It was good. So, So I, in the process of doing that, I spent a lot of long nights. And then this week, I came right out of doing that and right into Wear Red Day, which is a new costume as well. And, man, goodness, I've somehow managed to shut off my wristwatch alarm. So for the last 2 days, my alarm hasn't been going off, and I've actually been sleeping in a little bit, which is good because I probably needed it. So I gots to get to bed at a decent hour tonight. But Wear Red Day is going to be cute. It's going to be cute. It's actually celebrating or reminding women that heart disease affects women too, and make sure you get your checkups and make sure, you know, blah, 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 blah. And so the American Heart Association has actually dubbed the day Go Red. And they have little posters and stuff, and I'm going to make a little placard I can carry around that has the poster on it. So it'll be cute. It'll be cute. I think people will enjoy it. But I have some hemming to do, which I don't absolutely have to do. Everything is held together with safety pins at this point. But it would be nice just to run a thread around it and hem it and be done. So that won't take too long. And then I have a couple of mittens I need to make. I need to make fur-covered mittens. Those won't take too long. Because basically just cutting them out, a couple of seams, we're off to the races. So I'm close now, and I just got to get home, get this podcast uploaded, see if I can lay down about 500 words, and then, you know, hammer out the mittens, see if I can run a seam around, make a little sign, a little placard that I can carry, and then we'll be good to go for tomorrow. So it should be fun. It should be fun. All is well. Writing is going fine. I'm actually about 750 words down this week. And I was intending to make them up, but you know what? I've just been trying to hold my own until I can get through this Wear Red. And then by tomorrow, then I should have the costume done. So then I can focus on the writing. I can split up that 750 words over 2 days. Shouldn't be a problem. Get it in. I'm on like chapter 28 of book 14. Now, and I know where I'm going. I don't know how all the pieces interplay, but I know what I need to do for the rest of the book. So I think we're good there. I think I know how the epilogue ends. I think it's going to be fine. I just have to make sure that I don't do anything too weird before the epilogue comes to just kind of weird out the readers. So I got to make sure that works out okay, but I think we'll be fine there. So I'm going to wrap quick here and I'm going to talk without notes. I do have notes, but I've got the gist of the idea. I came across an article where the writer of the article, who is a woman, which I think is salient, in this point, the woman, had written this article and the name of the article was, I'm still driving home, but I'm going to turn on the light here for a moment where I can get the name of the article, because I think it is illustrative. The approach of the article, I think, is illustrative. So it's what, the name of the article is What a Picture of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez in a Bikini Tells Us About the Disturbing Future of AI. And we all know that AI is coming. We all know that it comes to its decisions, not necessarily in a way that we understand. Basically, you train AI on a bunch of training data, and you say yes, no, no, yes, 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 no, 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 and you give it some hints, and you kind of mentor it a little bit, and then it just pretty much does its thing. And I think now they have some tools available to where you can dig in and try to figure out why is it coming to that decision? Why is it doing that? But there's already been plenty of cases where the AI has been accused of bias. That the AI has been accused of not treating people fairly because of their race or because of their gender. And this is one case that the author of this article is making, that there is an image autocomplete that people were playing with, and when they showed them a picture of a man from the neck up, the image autocomplete put the man in a suit. But when you showed them a picture of a woman, it put the woman in a bikini. And so they would just show it a picture of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez from the neck up, and it put her in a bikini. And the woman was lamenting this in the article, that these are the inherent biases that are in AI, and we have to guard against this, and we have to do something about this, because AI is going to be doing so many things in our world that if we don't get rid of this bias, terrible things are going to happen. Okay, I understand all that. But this is going to be a peculiarly difficult problem. And the reason it's going to be peculiarly difficult is because AI, as we know it right now, in my opinion, there is no such thing, I'm getting my mail, there is no such thing as bias. It has no emotional content. Bias, we typically think of bias as being aware of a target and then basing our judgments on that target because we have judged that person to be X, whatever. The difficulty here is that AI isn't making any judgments at all. AI is just running through this matrix, and what sees this trigger, this trigger, this trigger, poof, that's what comes out. Because it's been trained on data. And that data reflects the state of the world. You know, if you had told me that in the process of COVID-19 locking everyone in their home and denying them the attention they were normally getting by going out, and if you had told me what the result of that was going to be on Instagram, I could have probably guessed that, but the fact of the matter is, I mean, if you... But every other news article is about, well, so-and-so wears the bikini and sits by the pool, or so-and-so shows off massive thigh gap, or so-and-so shows off... Because you had all these women that were locked away, not getting any reinforcement, and the way they get their positive reinforcement is they put on a bikini and parade around. So there's this flood of content of women putting on bikinis, putting on lingerie, sticking their butts out, posing for the... And there's a ton of stuff. Well, you turn an AI loose on Instagram, and it sees that stuff over and over and over. Well, it's going to map all those patterns. And, okay, how do you stop that? How do you stop that? Because all it's doing is regurgitating the ratios of the data that it has seen. And so... when we have the head of a man that's put in a suit and the head of a woman that's put in a bikini, well, if you're going to play the averages and you're going to look at something like an Instagram, that's a perfectly reasonable guess. That it's not biased. It's just the data. Now, are people happy about the fact that that's the data? No. No, of course not. Women don't want to be just many women, don't want to be just considered graded on how you look in a bikini. They want to be people. But if all you're doing is looking at images, well, that's pretty close from what you can see on the number of postings on Instagram, the number of and types of postings that get the most likes, that get the most views. You know, if you're weighting your algorithm at all to, well, what people most like and view most are the things that are typical of X, whatever it is, well, then that whole thing's going to skew. and it will reflect what our world is like. Now, you know, we can say there's a lot of things in our world that are bad, which is true. But then the question becomes, how do you get AI not to reflect that? And if we all had a clear consensus as to what the world was and what was biased and what was not biased, that would be one thing. But we're in the middle of huge confrontations right now about over what is fair and what is equity and what is equality and what is racist and what is not racist and what's misogynist and what is not misogynist. And we can't even decide. We can't even come to a consensus. And we not only can't come to a consensus, all of these things turn into fighting words right now. So it's not enough that we just say, well, we really don't agree on that. I mean, we got to go, you're racist, you're homophobe, you're racist. And so it's not just that we have a difference of opinion. It's that one side, and sometimes both sides, are calling the other side evil. Evil. Not worth living. Evil. Okay, there's a whole bunch of stuff going on here that's not good. And, you know, I got to tell you, this is really fascinating. It's just really fascinating. So, I mean, I honestly do not know how you are going to train AI to everyone's satisfaction. Because no matter who is that mentor, there's going to be somebody on the other side that's going to say, oh, it's another one of those woke people. Or it's going to be on the other side, oh, it's another one of those MAGA people. I heard Eric Weinstein call that Magistine and Wokenstein or something like that, you know, that there's these two warring countries now. And they're all using inflammatory language and they're all shaking their fists at each other. So this is going to be fascinating to see how this works out. Because yes, absolutely, AI is going to absorb what is trending. It's going to absorb kind of the underbelly of everything that's going on in our society. You know, I'm not, I guess you could call it bias and use that as a call to action, but it's just a machine and it's just running a calculation. But then if you decide, well, we're only going to show it some information, then for the rest of that AI's existence running, you have to be very, very careful what input it gets. And we've already seen this, that chatbot that Microsoft put up. This is a great chatbot. We'll tweet to it. It'll tweet back. I think it was doing tweet. It was like within an hour, this thing was racist because people were tweeting at it all sorts of horrific things, and it just starts mimicking it. So how in the world do you keep your AI pristine from all those people who would love to turn, you know, any of these AIs into... This is a hard problem. This is a really hard problem. And again, I get back to my contention that we have grossly underestimated the difficulty of keeping our AIs from going insane. We have grossly underestimated that difficulty. And all I have to say about that is that we better not give it guns because bad things will happen. I will note as well, though, wow, there's so much going on in the world right now. So much haranguing. So much anger. So much shaking of fists. So much approaching a new McCarthyism. Where it's not communism now. Now it's going to be the right-wing extremists, whatever that means. And everybody is going to get labeled a right-wing extremist. And that doesn't toe the party line.
and stories are just going to be made up about what our experiences are. And then if you dare question anyone's experience, they're going to say, well, that's because you're a right-wing extremist. I mean, this is the new McCarthyism. It's going to be so fascinating to see how this all works out. But I tell you the truth. I tell you the truth. This is the opportunity for the Church of Jesus Christ to be known as love. And I tell you the truth, if you name his name, don't get caught up in these arguments. Understand that there is nothing to fear, that the future ahead of us is bright, that we have a glorious eternity with him. And every single one of us in every single encounter needs to do what we can to show Christ's love and his mercy and his generosity and his compassion. We need this in this country. Because if the Church of Jesus Christ does not rise to its responsibility and be salt and light, there is no hope for the trajectory that we are on. This is Phil Ferrand, and I have made it home.